5, 6, 7, 8.
No, 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 we did this last week, so we've done, the music's just finished playing.
If you count me in, I do music.
Well, what can we do after, because I like 5, 6, 7, 8. What can we do after the counting?
9, 10. Traditionally, no.
We'll work on it for next week. Fine. So I just thought if we improvise, something beautiful might happen, but it hasn't. Happy birthday, you fool!
Thank you. It's my birthday. So yes, that's the reason things were delayed, because I was having some birthday weekend fun.
But that's over now. It's finished. It's no finished. More fun. It's time for Strictly Come Dancing.
It's as strict as it can be. It's extremely strict.
Welcome to Come Strictly Dancing. I'm Julia Rayside and he's Joel Morris. And obviously we have to, again, talk really fast this week. 14 couples. Movie week. So there's a lot of extra layers of, you know, meaning, and we have to interpret it and probably, talk about the Frankfurt School and sort of film theory. And is that not what this...
No, I just find it easy to remember who did which dance because I've got a film attached to it.
Oh, yeah. No, don't worry. I wrote it down as well. It's fine.
They do Tron this week. Did they do Tron last week?
Yes.
God, it's just chaos.
I'm so sorry. We've probably both just had a bit too much coffee.
That's fine. Anyway, we
must talk about the utterly lackluster opening where they pretended they were... Anton was conducting a heist whereby he would steal the glitter ball trophy.
I really liked it.
Did you like it?
I like it.
Do you know what I thought? Because we watched it in different rooms and different times, and I thought that you would be sitting there with your comedy writer's brain going, well, this could have done with a punch-up. It's absolutely dreadful.
I thought the writing was fine. I'm always really tolerant of light-end writing, which is really hard to do, because what you've got to do is you've got to get 14 people's little characters and shticks in there. it's hard to do that for lots of characters. What I really love about it is, because I bloody love Craig, as we all love Craig, I find it hilarious that whenever you get Craig to act, he can't act. He's genuinely the one thing you think he'd be brilliant at, which is being Craig on camera.
Yeah,
because he
can panto act, but that's not the same thing.
He's a phenomenal performer, and as soon as you get him to do a sketch acting, he is really stiff.
I think he
Anton's
could do,
great.
Yeah, no, he is. He's much better at the small kind of like the small acting you see on screen. Craig is like stage. He like played Miss Hannigan in Annie. Yeah. Like he's good at huge performances. He doesn't do camera's 3 inches from your face emote.
I think it's a really interesting thing, because I think people always say things like people are bad or good at things. And someone like Craig, who's obviously evidently really good at entertainment, there are limits to what you can do. I find it really interesting to watch someone who's a brilliant, brilliant performer. The limits are you can't stick a camera in Craig's face and get him to do sketch acting. He's not very good at it.
He will never be a judge on an acting. They haven't done an acting talent show yet, have they?
No.
Maybe they should.
Maybe
can you imagine just getting sports people to like act in a soap opera?
I think that's what the rest of television is. It's just an acting talent show. Yeah. And at the end, we'll decide who goes through to the next series. That's what cancelling series is.
Who goes through to RADA.
Yeah.
Okay. So obviously, that I think is best to move on from. I didn't really enjoy it very much. I thought it was a terrible waste of time. And then after Mexican Week, the scandal on Bake Off, they decide to do Encanto.
Yes, it's big Latin American.
But I
time.
Think they got away with it because it was a really lovely routine. And also because they had Graziano, who literally is Bruno from Encanto, with all, like, if you put him in a poncho and put some talc in his hair, he just suddenly becomes Bruno. It's amazing.
And also, I do like the fact, I like Strictly's relationship. Obviously, there's a lot of this week. Strictly's relationship with Disney is really good, I think, in that they've
got...
I think
there's a secret backstage deal because they're doing a lot of cartoons.
It's just they've got a family... audience
and
a family audience.
So.
The chances of everyone now having seen the same films is quite low.
That's true.
But if you do Encanto, probably Nan might have seen it with the kids. It's a really good thing to do. So I like it when they do Little Mermaid and they do Lion King and they do this. There were three Disney things this week, and I think it's a really good thing for bringing families around the sofa
together.
That's
true. I also really, really enjoyed Karen as Mirabelle in her geeky glasses. Like, she looked adorable.
I know. That was genuinely, I think that might be my favourite thing of the week is geeky Karen. That's brilliant.
I'd also like it noted that Tess and Claudia have now completely abandoned their entry choreography, you know, where they they used to bump hips. Then there was COVID where they used to do it from like 2 meters away. Now they just don't. I just sense in their eyes, no, not doing it.
They can't be.
We feel stupid, but not doing it.
I like the, I was saying that one of the things that people talk about with Strictly, which is diversity and representation. And one of the great things is there are two women over 50 hosting the BBC's flagship show.
And obviously they're extraordinary women over 50.
But it's not mentioned.
But still, two women.
There was a big fuss about whether they could do it without Brucey. And you go, this is just a perfect example of why everyone should see themselves on screen in Strictly.
Yep.
It's really important. That's the BBC gets a chance to woke the shit out of this.
Yay!
And to say, if you say that someone cannot naturally do something, Strictly will go, yeah, they can.
I love it so much. This series is clearly bringing out the arseholes. If you look on social media,
it's like
just
a poultice.
Like, oh my God, the things you think people wouldn't like, you know, be stupid enough to say in public, even if they're awful and poison enough to think it, they're saying it. They're actually saying it on social media. Stupid, awful
I thought
people.
It was impossible for ginger people to dance. I know, and apparently it's fine.
Just really depressing that we have to share a planet with them. Anyway, I also would like it noted that Matt Goss could not have looked more pleased at the top of the stairs to come out dressed in as Maverick in those shades. Like those mirrored aviators. He was like, yes, it's finally my time.
I mentioned this last week.
It's the only time he smiled during the whole thing was at top of the stairs going, I'm Tom Cruise. I'm only fucking Tom Cruise.
Obviously, it's. I was talking to a friend about this week about attitudes to fancy dress.
Yeah.
Whether you're cool with it, whether you feel awkward with it. And Strictly is all about attitudes to fancy dress. Are you willing to be Scott Mills and dress as the Lobster?
Exactly.
And how game do you look when you do it? And this week, very, very important because of what happened with Who Went Out and things.
Yeah.
It's really important. And if you've ever seen that terrific Community Halloween episode,
so good,
where Joel McHale's character, who's very, very vain, says he doesn't have any fancy dress and then turns up at a fancy dress party dressed as a sexy cowboy in the best outfit ever, and you go, that's Matt Goss.
Having clearly had no time to go to shop, he owns that costume,
sexy cowboy outfit. Yeah. There's something about who turns up to I heard a terrific story as a Hollywood party, which a friend of ours turned up with his wife, and the theme was Titanic, and he and his wife turned up as the funnels with their arms or thing, and everyone else at the party had turned up in jazz age sexy outfits,
really expensive costumes,
and was just getting off with each other, and they were just in the middle dressed as funnels. And I think
they're the people I want to know immediately. Who do you want to hang out with, the funnels or the twats in the sexy costumes? Everyone will answer the same. Yeah. Otherwise, please stop listening to this podcast. You're not our people.
But yes, there was a lot this week about people's attitude to their costumes and their fancy dress. Who's happy to be? I want to be Patrick Swayze. There's a lot in the eye, especially the men.
Oh yeah.
Are you prepared to be? Can I be Indiana Jones? The competition every year to find out who gets to be James Bond in the movie. There was no Bond in the movie, but usually there's a fight to be James Bond or Han Solo or something. Star-Lord.
I was going to say he lucked out with Star-Lord.
Yeah,
because he did look
cool things.
Great.
Yeah, it's a competition who gets the sexy outfits. It's important.
Okay, let's start with dance number one. We're starting on a sad note. So it was Richie and Giovanni's Samba to The Lion King. Every year, I feel like, even if they're not dancing to The Lion King, somebody has to dance to The Lion King dressed as a meerkat. And it feels like a massive disadvantage. Then they put them first, which is, everyone knows, for voters, like their memories are short, that's a disadvantage. So I felt like he was really starting on the back foot this week.
It's not fair, is it? Last week, he
had improved. So anyway, they did a Samba, which again, I think that's maybe three strikes. It's the hardest dance. It's a really hard dance to do if your costume is like a big poofy plushy outfit where you can't really see isolation, hips.
It was football mascots.
It was very odd. Crap, isn't it? Like, why
it's like
they
trying
do
to,
that to
it's
them?
It's like trying to judge two of the characters from In the Night Garden. What they can do. They're really restricted. And obviously, the thing about Strictly this year, a lot of it's been about, can you dance elegantly with different body shapes?
Yeah.
That's the story of Strictly. And,
sure.
And it always is, isn't it? It's, are you a gangly person? Are you a short person? Are you a tall person? Are you fat, thin, whatever? The big message this year is you can do it. But to take someone and then encase them in a football match, that's two Pikachus having a dance. It doesn't quite work.
I felt like normally the costume department is so, like, you see them, you know, bespoke making 100 billion costumes every week, and that they look like they'd hired them from a football club or like a shitty
off eBay
costume hire place.
Someone had typed in sexy Pumbaa and that was what had come
and
up.
And it's bad, like, who did Giovanni piss off this week to dress him like? I mean, they made him look deliberately.
It was also, they put sort
of
swooshy
awful
things on it. So basically sort of the front of the meerkat's thing had swooshy tassels on it so it could have movement.
Yeah.
But it meant every time he bent over it looked like he had udders. It was really
then he got some in his mouth in the dance
like a spaghetti. It was really, really nasty.
No, it wasn't nice.
And you couldn't see. And they started off on the judges' podium. So for a while at the beginning, they were completely
locked.
With
their backs to the judges. And they spent way too long up there mugging at them and doing like a little sort of funny faces.
Cartoon routine.
Like, just let them dance. And actually, I was quite surprised the judges did say that the content was there. I thought they'd say, when you eventually started dancing, you know, it was all but over, but you did manage some. I really also enjoyed the fact that they took their same-sex dance to a primary school to go and show the kids, because I imagine there were probably, you know, people picketing outside like they do at the drag queen story time. Like, sorry, two men, did you say?
I think the woke agenda went mental this week, didn't they? Forcing them to watch a meerkat and a warthog have a dance.
But I really loved that. I did. Shirley was saying it was their best number so far. Craig said lack fluidity. Motsy just made noises like kaboom, 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 which I absolutely love it. When she sort of like glitches and just starts, I just adore her. But anyway, so the scores were all over the the place. Craig 5, Motsy 7, Shirley 8, which I didn't see at all, and Anton 7. They obviously, it's one of those dances of the samba where they can see things I can't see because I hate watching it. It's so stompy and sort of odd and not fluid, and I don't get the rhythm of it at all. It's not my dance.
It's a sort of high energy dance, and you keep wanting to go, oh, please be a jive, please be something I can understand.
Yeah.
A Charleston. Something
I don't get it.
It's a funny dance that appears to be really, really difficult.
Yeah.
And
I agree.
They did it for comedy value. A quick point on Motsy, by the way, because we're watching Motsy's sci-fi outfits.
Sorry,
Motsy,
yes.
This time round, Alderaan senatorial delegation, white robe, elaborate hair. She's Princess Leia this week. Good. Just saying.
Do you know what? I sort of thought Leia vibes, but the hair was...
No, it was crazy.
It was like musical notes. It was amazing.
Not everyone on Alderaan has the Danishes at the side. They have elaborate hair, shows their rank.
I see.
I think she's senior Alderaan senatorial
delegation. I was going to say, she's like the boss of Alderaan,
yeah,
surely.
Yeah, she is. Queen. You've seen a princess. That's what the queen looks like. There you go.
We briefly have to mention, although I don't know why I'm bothering, the terms and conditions they've given up this year. It was Hugh Bonneville in a dressing room, pre-recorded, utterly without humour.
Yeah.
Why? Why?
Bonneville.
They worked out the whole Big Breakfast thing a couple of series ago. They get the glittery curtain, they get everyone together. COVID's over in exclamation, you know, quote marks. So why aren't they doing that? That was funny. It's like, get an interesting guest. Like, you know, use your... I know they've got a lot to think about on that show, but like the terms and conditions... they used to make a bit of a thing of, and it was fun. And now it's just like, yawn, go and make a cup of tea.
I've got a proposal.
Go on.
It should always be a puppet.
Oh, a puppet.
I want Kermit to do it. I want Zig and Zag to do it.
Yeah.
Gordon the Gopher would be great. Yeah.
Okay, well, maybe for next week. So now we go to Molly and Carlos, who did a very romantic and beautiful waltz to a song from West Side Story.
It was very
I'll hand
lovely.
Over to you because you're the gay man in this relationship and you really love musicals.
I've only found out recently you don't really like musicals.
I mean, I don't mind them.
It's a big part of my identity that I like musicals and I'm good with colours. It's really important. But no, I adored this. I thought, I'm just going to say, this was beautiful. We both said last week that Molly, being a good sort of stage school kid, was hard immediately to warm to because you can't feel her journey. And she was so good this week.
Yeah.
And he, as a new dancer, I felt he'd been on Strictly Forever. I really like him.
And
I
he got to be... he didn't get to be Elvis this week. Who got to be Elvis? That was Vito, sorry.
Vito, yes. But some of the new...
I'm mixing up my new dancers.
The new guys are really bedding in. This was a really good dance for Carlos and her. They looked really beautiful.
Yeah.
It was nice to see her makeup and her outfit and the hair and the wig... separated her from how I'd seen her before because she wasn't being her Nova Jones sort of persona on kids' TV. She suddenly looked very, very adult, very romantic. They played those parts brilliantly. The acting was lovely from the pair of them.
Yeah.
Rossi's a really good actor. She's
she
a really
is.
Good actor.
Yeah, yeah,
the
yeah.
pair of them. And it was I just wrote beautiful. It was really nice to see, especially straight after the
I
meerkats.
Wrote that as well.
It was a beautiful dance.
Especially and after the meerkats.
And also just, I mean, Strictly as well, goes a bit heavy because it's for family audiences on sort of modernity. It doesn't want to be traditional ballroom all the time. This was a come dancing. West Side Story is an old musical. It was romantic.
We always say For the Nans, they have to throw one bone to the Anton Dubek fans. Like,
but because
please.
There's been a Spielberg version of it recently, it
yeah.
felt modern, and it was definitely that version of West Side Story rather than the old Russ Tamblyn era version of it, Natalie Wood version. It felt really modern. I loved this, and it put this gang who I'd not quite... noticed, it made them one of my favourites.
I think
week.
You're right. I think it maybe brought them a bit to the fore this week. Although they're not quite there yet. There are other bigger personalities. She came across really well in her training videos this week. I'm starting to really warm to her. She seems very sweet and very sort of genuine.
And also, it looked really difficult because, as she said, it was slow.
And which is exposing.
For the younger people, and for the Richies of this world who come out with loads of energy, forcing them early on to do a slow one means they've got to be controlled. And I went, oh, you're really controlled. It was a really slow dance, and I thought that made it really powerful.
It looked professional. And the judges agreed. Craig gave her an 8, 2 9s from Motsy and Shirley, and another 8 from Anton. So she is solidly... good every week. Like, I mean, good's a real understatement. She's solidly very, very good every week. So I think you're right. I think maybe there's a slight emotional journey starting to come out, but it needs more. I think she'll be okay at the top of the table for another few weeks before the viewer vote starts to become really important because her scores are good, but she has to kind of hit home with the viewers a bit because, you know... It's very important when it turns into the popularity contest, when everyone's good at dancing or of a level, you need to kind of be something so they can get a hold of it. Okay, then we move on to Kim and Graziano, who did a really good Charleston, although obviously they must have been really pissed off they were in the same show as Tyler and Diane's Charleston.
Yes.
But anyway, a really good Charleston to If My Friends Could See Me Now from Sweet Charity. Really enjoyed Kim looking clearly slightly peeved that she had, quotes, a Cilla Black wig on.
Good Cilla Black impression, though.
I thought
she was good.
She is. We know she can sing. So the judges really did love this. And it was really entertaining. I love the Charlestons. When they're they're given to the good dancers. The Charleston is the one where it's just, it's, you know, it's the full of tricks. It's the most Saturday night thing you can do is like cartwheels and like jumping onto your partner with your legs around their waist and kind of like waggling your hands about and doing a silly face. It's like, it's really entertaining
but
to
actually,
watch.
Charleston wise, we had two Charlestons this week, which were the thing that's really difficult to do, which is sexy Charleston.
Yes.
Because she was being Shirley MacLaine and it's a good sexy musical.
Yeah.
And it's a nice, it's Hollywood. It's got glamour to it. They weren't just going for, and the joke being one of them was Half a Sixpence. You go, oh, that's the standard comedy Charleston is a bit for Tommy Steele. They were both attractive, dynamic, high energy. That showed them off. They looked really good. And I thought,
it does. It shows you off as a dancer.
They came out looking sexy and cool. And I went, oh, you can't normally do cool Charleston.
Sexy
and
Charleston.
I liked it. The only thing that frightened me, of course, is that Kim Marsh, of course, who we all know is 21, appeared to have an adult child.
Yeah, who was that adult that was playing her child this week?
Just bad
costume. What was the point of that?
Worse than Grease. She was clearly 38 trying to pretend to be at school. It was awful.
They even put glasses on her to make her look older. Yeah, and I'm assuming talc in her hair. It was completely pointless.
Ridiculous. I mean, obviously, Kim Marsh's child is about 18 months old because we are really young and not Liberty X. And Hearsay were only about 5 minutes ago.
Liberty Kiss. Yes, God. Oh, my God. They weren't even the band, were they? It was Hearsay.
Yeah.
Jesus. Okay. So the judges said, well, Craig said he did have some criticism, but he said it was her best dance yet. Shirley said it was a wowzer of a routine, also agreed best dance Kim's done. Yeah. And Anton said best dance of the series yet. He absolutely loved it.
It was very good.
And their scores did reflect that. So Craig, a 7, I thought a bit stingy. Motsi, a 9. Shirley, an 8. And Anton, a 9. So I think that is their highest, possibly their highest score so far. 9, certainly. I think, no, they said that was Graziano's first ever 9 on Strictly. So that was a really nice kind of moment. And I think, like, yeah, she's definitely looking like one of the contenders for certainly the latter end of things, isn't
and
she?
It's good to have someone, again, this is really
she's
stupid.
She's marked for Blackpool, as they say.
Yeah, I mean, it's very, now we know, isn't she a grandmother or something ludicrous like that?
No, she's 400
she's
not. Years old. She's 21.
She's 400 years old. Yeah. It's really nice to see someone who is in there representing the mums on the sofa, absolutely
I mean, when you
it.
Say that, though, my eyes just go to the ceiling. Like, she looks like...
No.
Beautiful. She clearly has a nutritionist and trainer, or she doesn't. She looks like she does.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, generationally.
She's not representing anyone except for gorgeous women on television. Move on. Representation does not look like Kim Marsh, and I like her very much, but good God, what are you saying? Next, we come to one of my favourites, Hamza and Yavita, who did a rumba, the first rumba of the series, always terrifying to be, I mean, a man or a woman sort of celebrity doing that dance, but the first one of the series is always just so, so mortifying. Jurassic Park was the theme, so quite an odd combination, like dinosaurs, sexy hip tension dancing thing. But actually, I enjoyed it very, very much, and I think he has got really good... what's the word? Musicality, the isolation in his middle is really good. Well, you wouldn't expect it from like a chunky lad. He does move really beautifully. But obviously my favourite thing about all of this was that they made them go to the Jurassic World exhibition. And genuinely, this guy who faces down like wild snow wolves is shit scared of like pretend dinosaurs.
He hates animatronics. He's frightened of animatronics.
Like, what is going on?
It's very, very charming.
But it's so cute. Oh, my God. It's awful. I'm like, I don't want to patronise him, but I do want to cuddle him and never let him go and call him George and make him my pet and stroke him and feed him every day. I love him.
I think he doesn't appear to be forced. He appears to just be that nice guy. Yeah. So I think there's no sense that he's immensely likable. I must admit, if you were Richie, you'd be really annoyed because in the training montage, they were dressed as dinosaurs.
Yeah, and in big inflatable suits.
No, you don't get to be. Laura Dern and
try
Sam
doing
Neill.
It on the night, mate.
Try doing it in huge, unflattering costumes. But they turned out in sexy Jurassic Park outfits. And sexy dinosaur outfits. They should be dressed as big mascots. They should look like two Barneys having sex. It should have been really bad. But
it did feel like they were, Richie and partner were nobbled in a way that everyone else just wasn't.
It's not fair. If you've got two Jurassic Park and one of you isn't going to spit in the other one's face and have a neck frill go up, that's cheating.
Yeah, the big neck frill.
Yeah, it's cheating.
Could be a great moment in the dance, couldn't it? Neck frill. Jazz has neck frill.
They should do it in unrelated dances. Just be dressed as a Dilophosaurus, whatever happens. So you roll a dice, the unlucky person has to be a Dilophosaurus, even if you're doing West Side Story. It has to be. But I thought this was a little bit static, because I'm a huge fan of him. I thought he was watching her a lot, and then I realised, this is my big theory, she was moving a lot, because the rumba thing, he was sort of holding her while she did stuff.
But this is the rumba.
That was his role, but weirdly, because it was Jurassic Park, I thought what he should have done is should have taken his glasses off and watched her in awe.
Oh, yeah, he should have done.
There was a lot of awe-struck watching, which is very Jurassic Park.
It's another reason why she should have been dressed as a dinosaur.
So I want a huge neck, long neck extension.
I wrote down that he partnered her beautifully. And I've only learned this from the judges over the years, but when you're watching a rumba, and the man's job, obviously there's lots of stuff with legs and tension in the body and kind of distance and kind of the push and pull between them, like they're two magnets dancing together and all that stuff, which maybe wasn't fully there. But they always talk about how the man is showcasing and framing and presenting his much more sort of moving.
I wrote the word presenting down. It looked like he was showing her off.
But that is the kind of the point of that dance a bit. So I think he actually got that right.
Oh, well, I thought it was that. I think one of the reasons I was watching it as a viewer and thinking, I wondered if that would affect like an audience vote. It didn't.
Maybe.
I think the rumba.
We've all seen enough rumbas
now. Well, I was watching and thinking, I don't think it looks impressive enough to the audience at home for him to get big votes. Relying on his charm.
I know what you mean. I think the way he holds his body, it's so unexpected for a man that lies around in probably, I'm guessing, you know, sort of like, you know, outdoorsy clothing all day, you know, with his chin on his hands on an ice ridge looking for, and like, he doesn't move like you'd expect a roughy, tufty, outdoorsy guy to move.
Actually, like, I just realized they didn't make anything of it. He was dressed for Jurassic Park as the day job.
I know.
He's a park ranger.
Exactly.
I thought they'd been part of it. They didn't even go for that. God.
You'd have thought so. But no, because he's scared of dinosaurs. That's why they... oh, no, by the way, we also have to know it's movie week, so of course they couldn't resist bringing back the CGI. Although I'm crossing everything that the budget for the CGI this year is much reduced because I don't need it.
I've written down, I had a CGI watch. We had CGI pterosaur.
Yeah.
We had CGI jet.
Thank you.
And CGI fish.
We had the fish at the end of The Little Mermaid, which I thought was quite nicely done.
The pterosaur, of course, the Ramphorhynchus or whatever it was. I forgot the name, which exact...
Thank you for knowing the names of dinosaurs. Yeah. Also very hot.
Was in the way of his feet at the beginning, so you couldn't see it. Just terrible.
Making such big dinosaurs. Like they do camera rehearsals before the show. It's like, it's not like they didn't know. But so many kind of things in the way of their dance as it was starting, I was quite irritated
by it. Have a word to the CGI department. Keep them clear of the feet.
Honestly, just not worth the money they spend on it. It must cost them a lot of money. Anyway, so Motsi said the beautiful cucarachas, which I enjoyed. Shirley said that he had a real ease of movement. There needed to be more space between you, all the technical stuff that she knows because she knows that dance. And Craig said the rumba was too placed. Take a drink. Whenever he says something is too placed, take a drink, or flat-footed, take a drink. Like, you'll be very, very fucking drunk by the end of Saturday if you drink on those cues. So Craig only gave him a 5, Motsi a 7, Shirley a 6, and Anton a 7. I think that was, again, maybe he's not final material, I don't know, but I love watching him so much, and I love watching her so much. Jovita's one of my absolute favourite dancers, like, from the get-go. She's just so great.
They're a lovely pairing. I think they're really nice. They're really appealing. They're cute together.
I really hope they stay in for a long, long time. Though someone has to go.
They could be eaten by dinosaurs.
Well, would that be kinder than actually sending them off to live on a farm?
Yeah, I think... I'd like to see him chased off the set by a dinosaur.
He's scared.
Terrified.
He's scared of them anyway. Maybe his worst fears could just come true.
That's it. That's what we were looking for. There's their journey. We've worked that out. Thanks. Big BBC. Cheers. Bye.
Okay, so now we go on to Ellie and Johannes. I was really looking forward to this one. They were doing Cha-Cha to the Shoop Shoop song. Obviously, Cha-Cha is very difficult. And she... was wearing this beautiful, you know, it's the Cher, Winona Ryder, Christina
Mermaids.
Ritchie. Yeah, exactly. Sorry. Thank you, God. My brain this week. She had the kind of polka dot, sort of lovely 50s dress on, or the 60s, and the huge beehive.
11 wigs.
She looked so, so impossibly beautiful. And I think it was slightly, I know, it felt slightly flatter than I hoped it would be.
Yeah.
But it is only week 3, we have to keep reminding ourselves. Lots of good steps and everything, but it's really interesting. They're being very technical and specific about Latin this year and saying, if you don't get your weight over your front leg, everything goes to shit. So you won't do toe leads and you won't do what's required of these dances. And I'm loving how much I'm learning about.
I realise that. I've seen a million seasons of this. And when Anton stands up to demonstrate, especially when they get the judges in for the second episode.
I love that bit.
And you go, oh, now you're telling me what it was that you were objecting to. Because I went, oh, it's moving there, all they're moving around, all right, they didn't fall over.
Yeah.
And they're saying, no, this is all to do with weight distribution. You're going, oh, this is, you're telling me why this is brilliant.
Tell me what you can see that
it's
I
great.
Can't. And it's actually really opening up the show in a kind of way that hadn't happened before. I really enjoyed Shirley saying afterwards, you're adding things to your basket. I kind of want to see her in, I don't know, some kind of Acorn Antiques spin-off. I just think she'd be good in one of those roles, probably Mrs. Overall, but she wouldn't wear the costume.
The only thing I found was I thought there was a moment in it where I couldn't be sure whether they'd fluffed
Yeah.
And they didn't mention it, so I thought, oh, maybe they didn't. And I went, oh, hang on, if I can't tell if you fluffed,
no, exactly.
Then it's obviously not quite flowing.
And there are some dances that don't, there are movements that sort of don't. It's the same with the samba. There's some, I'm doing Anton's pronunciation samba. Of samba now. Do you like that? Yeah, I just like honouring Anton.
Samba from the Luan King.
from the Leon. Samba. The Leon gang. there are some dances that I find it even done well by a professional. I find them kind of spiky and yes, like, oh, exactly. Was that supposed to, oh, to I, watch. I don't enjoy them as much as I
like the clarity of just dropping someone.
Yeah.
I do feel nervous if
you're
I can't tell.
Fuck up. Come on.
Drop them on the head.
Yeah.
But I love watching
Ellie dance. I absolutely love watching her dance.
I think my only problem with these two, and of course it's JoJo. It's lovely JoJo. I'm really feeling.
Yeah.
And this is a terrible thing to say because we are big diversity year. I'm feeling a lack of chemistry between Ellie and Johannes.
Are you?
Because it was so hot last year, where Johannes was so in love with John.
Yeah, maybe.
And it's really weird to read. And this is awful. As a straight man, to watch him partner with this beautiful, elegant woman, and it looks in his eyes he doesn't really feel anything.
But you'd think, again, this is being very reductive, but they seem to get on.
I think they're friends
and you'd
things.
Think
She's
there'd
lovely,
be a kind so... of chemistry of, like, just these two really nice people who are kind of funny and chatty. And
it's not
maybe,
quite sparking for me.
Maybe the personalities aren't quite gelling. I don't know. Yeah, I know what you mean. When they're on the dance floor.
They're both really nice. That's what I find confusing. I was expecting to be absolutely rooting for those
two. You
wanted
to root
for them,
yeah.
Because I like both of them. Mm. And weirdly, I'm not feeling... And it might just have been this dance. And I watched it and went, oh, this should have been
I think it was
Sizzly.
This dance, yeah.
And so, weirdly, I wrote down a little journey note and said, what I'm interested in their journeys, I'd like to see them get more comfortable with each other. Because this felt like it was... the dance was hard and their interpersonality and their... terrible word. Their chemistry didn't overcome the fact the dance was a bit awkward.
Yeah.
And I'd like to watch their journey be, I want to watch these two friends get really good at dancing.
Yes, exactly. So we're watching people learn to dance and that's kind of the whole point. But it's sort of
so
like...
I love them for that.
Yeah, no, me too. I think you're right. I think there's something in her. I noticed especially with her, was it the Paso? Was it last week Paso or Tango?
No,
it was a Paso Doble. That's right. So the Paso Doble, the one we were supposed to be going, snap, bite, at your partner, that one. You know, where they all do the funny mouth. They're silently saying like, yeah, blah, blah, that stuff. And normally Johannes would be like, she's a sassy woman. Yeah. I'm going to bring the sass out in you. And he kind of wasn't doing that. And she wasn't doing it. It's like, where's the fire in this? Where's the bit where you go, come on, queen, slay?
Maybe they're just having a nice time. I mean, he's a bit more far. I think there was a sense last year with,
he's not
with the pair of them.
On, or,
because it was a big deal because it's the first same-sex
he's
couple
just
have gone
weirdly
through.
Quiet. Is he okay?
He was on fire last year. And I think that I'm feeling this year, and I that was a huge reductive thing to say. It was to do with whether he found her hot or not. But it was essentially there was a real
sort
of...
chemistry is not about much more than that. Your friends can have chemistry.
Yeah,
like,
there was a real
that?
Sizzle last year, and it's lacking it. And my lazy brain went, oh, is it because you're not in a same-sex couple? But actually, I think it's more complicated than that. I think maybe they're just having a nice time with their friends. She's really nice. He's really nice. I want to see them catch fire.
Yeah, I'm the same. I want him to ignite the spark in her, and that doesn't appear to have happened yet.
Firework.
Maybe there's still time. Craig gave him just a 4, which I thought was bit dismal.
That's awful.
Motsi a 5, Motsi a 6, Shirley a 5, and Anton a 6. So yeah, it was pretty lackluster. They were in the bottom half of the table. She is a better dancer than that. Also, I would just say they made some fuss of JoJo doing a Cher impression. He shouldn't have bothered. It wasn't very good.
No, not after the Scylla impression from Kim, which is great.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, now we move on to Matt and Nadia. So I've just got to adjust my seating position to allow for the massive clench that's just happening in my lower quarters. Obviously,
Bross,
he got
when the clenching stops. That's the documentary you want to see.
So he got to dance to a song from Top Gun Maverick. He got to do the Viennese waltz. He got to dress in that outfit. She got to basically wear his outfit, but with a skirt instead of the trousers. And in the just the humorlessness of the guy, I know he's trying so hard, but like he said in the training montage, train hard, fight easy, with no irony, with none's irony. I think desperation also forced him to dig up his dead grandfather this week, which I never enjoy. It's like, you are really pushing this up a hill, mate. They went to the RAF Museum in Hendon. It was like, this reminds me of something to do with the military that I've just remembered. Dead grandfather. He died. My grandfather died. It's like, yeah, mate, we're all quite old. Most of our grandfathers have died.
This reminds me of the army men from Toy Story. And that made me cry. It was so...
I knew them. Well, not knew them, but I saw them.
I saw them on TV. I like the little green men. Yeah, it was so... he was such a stretch. And there's a little bit, what's really bad is because he's doing these sort of little sort of inspirational nuggets straight to camera.
I know.
There's a bit of David Brent about it. There's a little bit of like your middle manager's coming with inspirational speeches. And he stood, oh, this is the bit that I felt really bad. He stood in front of a jet and went, "I'm a fighter." And I wanted to go, "No, that's a fighter behind you." He keeps setting up jokes because he's very, 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 very serious.
But the producers,
you do the jokes yourself, and it's going, "Oh, I wish you had the jokes."
But I feel like, I mean, obviously, if you're a producer on that show, your heart's in the right place. You want to entertain. Yeah. You want, it's a light entertainment thing, not a reality format where you want to kind of set up the punter, the contenders to look awful.
Yes.
But you know, after that documentary, the Bross documentary, where he did all of that earnest, you know, soundbite wellness shite to camera stuff, and was kind of, the documentary was hugely successful, but in large part because it's like, did you see what he's become since being in America? And he's gone all, "I went to sit under the Joshua tree because I'm a singer-songwriter. It's like, mate, you were in Bross. Like, come on. There's something, I don't want to see it, but I'm concerned there's a slight thing in the producers of just like, if we film this, he's going to say something gold and then we can use that. And it's like, you know, I mean, he's like it in the studio too. It's not like he's being set up or anything, but I just feel like it's such a weird misfit for this show.
Yes, it's the
wrong
tone.
This isn't reality TV. They're not trying to trip him up.
You don't want to...
just not coming across well to viewers.
Weird, yes. He's feeling like a Darius kind of thing, like a real X-Factor thing where waiting for someone to be really super, super on it, earnest.
Yeah.
And he will turn to the camera and go, "Do you know what I often think? You don't have to be mad to work here, but if you are, it helps." He's totally that guy. He's the kind of guy who's sort of doing this, sort of going, "Yeah, sex appeal, give generously." He's got bumper sticker wit. And
he
delivers it as if he's just thought of it. And you go, oh, no. And it's really cruel because normally when you hang someone out to dry for that, that's an X Factor trick. You're right, completely.
It's not proving that fun to watch, and it's sticking out like a sore thumb in this format. But anyway, their Viennese waltz. So I just wrote, "Is he leading?" Because I think, you know, the partnering is just so unconfident. They'd said his frame was better and his pelvis was slightly closer to Nadi this week. Maybe she's taken away some of the barbed wire now, but it still didn't look in any way confident. He's a guy clearly suffering a crisis of confidence and trying to work out how to style it out, when actually what he should do is just probably reveal that he's suffering a real crisis of confidence rather than get standing at the top of the stairs dressed like Maverick with mirrored shades on. There's also a moment where, I don't know what it's called, but for want of a better word, the floor sweeper move, where it happened sort of in much more successful terms in Tyler and Diane's Charleston, where he picks her up by her feet and swings levitates her off the floor. It's the other way around in this one, where he holds Nadia's hands and kind of swishes her around, and it looked like he was industrially cleaning an office. I didn't think he was going to get her all the way around. He looked like he was physically struggling.
It's weird because
her around.
I can't work out what it is, because I wrote this one. I think this is the best dance he's done. I thought it was the best. Like, I went, "Oh, you're dancing well." He has improved and he is doing the work. I think what's really hard for him as a character in this is when he says, "I'm going to work really hard," you go, "Yeah, you have."
You know he's working.
He's not a shit dancer, but weirdly, I feel so ill at ease watching him. Mm. He might as well be Tony Adams. He might as well be... Weirdly, Tony Adams is now quite enjoyable to watch because he knows what his limitations are.
Oh, for other reasons,
Matt's fragility is making it really hard to enjoy him dancing, even when, as he was this week, that was a perfectly decent dance.
Yeah, he wheels out the dead grandfather again while Claudia's talking to them. And, you know... the problem is, and also because he's partnered with Nadia, who, for whatever reason, the filters between her and me and the screen, her sincerity, if there is sincerity, gets totally lost and repackaged as total insincerity.
Yeah.
Everything she says seems to come across. It's because she's got the showbiz. You know, they've all got it, the kind of showbiz facade.
Yeah.
But when she's saying, "He's worked so hard and I'm so proud of him," I just think, "No, you're not. No, you haven't." And obviously, that's not fair because I know he's working his socks
off. You believe if Jeanette said it?
Yes, exactly. I would, because I know that she's a Disney animal, a little character, and I believe everything she said. He remains, and I obviously this week, again, maybe I didn't notice it the first couple of weeks because I'm a complete sexist and he's not a woman. But when I was looking for any reaction on his face when anyone said anything good, bad or indifferent to him, there isn't any. His face does not move.
Yeah.
He is so Botoxed up, the yazoo, that you can't... It's really not doing him any favours. That is genuinely one of the biggest, I would say, blocks. Also, maybe he thinks, you know, there's something about his upbringing or his that's like, don't show emotion.
Yeah.
But now his face also cannot show emotion. It's like, how on earth are you supposed to communicate with an audience?
It's a really interesting one.
No one can see what you're thinking or feeling it apart from the terror in the eyes. It's like the eyes are in a prison.
Yeah.
And it's just, oh, it's just, yeah, there's something dark about him.
People are talking about this a lot, and it's really, it feels quite cruel. I mean, even that we're part of this, but I think there's when the documentary ran on TV,
yeah,
everyone said, this is psychologically fascinating.
It is.
And the weird thing is, Strictly doesn't really do that.
No, it's not supposed to.
We're put in a position where I'm watching him like I am reality contestants in Big Brother and things. I'm going, oh, this is psychologically fascinating. I don't want to feel that.
The goodness and the inclusivity. So the judges were not impressed. Craig reached for his three paddle, even as Matt was saying, it's beautiful inside me. As he was trying to refer to the dance and how it had gone into him somehow. Stop saying stupid things. Motsi a 6, Shirley a 5, and Anton a 7. He was right down near the bottom of the leaderboard again by the end. And I think everyone, including me, assumed dance off beckoning. Turns out not so.
Ooh.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
So now we move on to probably one of the most fun, accomplished, jaw-dropping, amazing dancers of the night. Tyler and Diane, Team Tie-Dye. Putting my teeth back in. They danced to Flashbang Wallop, What a Picture, from After Sixpence. They Charlestoned, favourite dance, favourite kind of style of dance. And it was just insane. The guy is, I mean, I'm assuming Diane is teeny tiny, but the guy is tall and obviously he's, you know, ripped and all that stuff. But he was moving his limbs around like they were made of rubber. He had just run the marathon on Sunday.
Nuts.
Presumably maybe got to take Monday off because speaking as a marathon runner myself once 20 years ago, no, 10 years ago, you can't walk the next day. Yeah. No matter what kind of an athlete you are, you kind of just, your everything just goes no.
Yeah.
So he must have maybe taken one day off and then they got that choreography down in probably less than 4 days.
And he's still doing his morning radio show apparently as well.
He's doing so all of that. He's
trying too hard.
Machine.
I've gone off him now. He's trying too hard.
No,
he's trying to impress me.
But
it was superhuman. It was Blue Peter levels of...
He's also
amazing things.
He's so pretty.
He's pretty and nice.
Craig said just very simply fabulous, which means, you know,
adjudicator friendly is what we call it now.
Well, okay, fine. Yes, he's definitely that. Woof. And so I've turned into Shirley. Motsi said there were no empty spaces in his dance. And I agree, like, he's someone who this week, and it just sort of seemed to come out of nowhere, was dancing every single microsecond of the routine.
Yeah.
So his head was doing stuff even when, in the very rare moments, his body had stopped. Like, he was still acting, moving.
There was so
holding
much to
himself.
Watch.
Brilliant.
There was so much content. I don't know if you found this, that about 2/3 of the way through the routine, I went, is this finished yet? Because I'd watched so much.
They got up onto the bar and it was like, and the end, it's like, oh, no, they've got more. Because I felt like the amount of content I'd just seen, well, that's the 90 seconds, isn't it? Aren't they done? It's no, they did another whole...
It was incredible.
A whole section. Oh, just, there's not a lot to say apart from wow. And I did that thing where the cartoon wolf with the eyes coming out. I did that. It's amazing. Is he in fact human? Probably not. Craig gave the first 9, I think, of the series. 2 10s from Motsi and Shirley, and Anton a 9. So in week 3, that's pretty incredible. He's bound to have a shit week next week, because that is just like, I mean, he'll be doing that again.
Marathon come down.
Oh, my God.
Just collapse. He'll just turn up next week, just fall over on the floor, face down, just lie there groaning.
Ten!
They'll go, that's fine. That's understandable. I get why.
Anyone would forgive him. So now we move on to Fleur and Vito. I really liked this dance. So she got to be Ariel, the Little Mermaid, dancing an American Smooth to that one about wishing she had feet and a voice and all that business.
You're no good at musicals, are
what?
You?
What?
I was
about,
word perfect.
What do you call them? Foot?
Yes, it's brilliant. Hoochie Phillips and What's Its Galore.
Yes.
It's the, oh God, you don't like
I'm
musicals
sorry,
enough.
I do like them. I just don't know them that well. So obviously this must have reignited the controversy about the new live action Little Mermaid that's now shock horror, Ariel is played by an actress of colour.
Yes.
And so I thought rather nicely, they were like, Fleur, would you like to be this woman? And it turns out, she seemed to be being completely genuine about this. This is the part she's always wanted to play. This is the song she's always sung since
any
she was seven.
Any girl of her age, gorgeous. That was a massive, massive deal. It was a really big deal. And anyone who was force-fed Disney princesses, that's a really big deal.
Absolutely. And you admitted that you used to watch this at least once a week with your college mate, Joe.
Yes, so. Once a week, Little Mermaid, very, very important.
I feel like I need to... Can I shock you? I've not seen it all the way through.
It's a brilliant film.
All right, well, we'll watch it then. I thought it was beautiful. American Smooths, I'm really keen on anyway. She was just styled and dressed so beautifully with the mermaid kind of suggested in her
really
outfit.
Good.
The set was really good. They were sparing but quite nice with the CGI fish at the end.
Like a screensaver. It was great.
There were some incredibly cool and really difficult lifts in there. That one where you kind of have to kind of almost propeller your legs up into a kind of upside down position. Obviously, technically, I don't know what that's called. The propeller legs. And I just thought the whole thing was lovely and she was really emotional and she seemed to really connect to it.
Oh, the emotion in it. I'm warming to her. She's becoming one of my favourites.
I love them as a partnership too.
They're like really lovely together. She is clearly very likable. She was on It Takes Two and was completely charming this week. I found that she went to my college. She's a local girl to where we live.
I know. I feel like we need to adopt her. I think she's from here.
I'm loving the flair. She's really brilliant. And this ended and it built up. She did a beautiful dance and at the end of it, it was a long hold and she was like sort of shaking with emotion because she'd loved it. It felt like it was her birthday treat. They said, it's a special treat. Sometimes when people say, oh, this is my favourite song, my favourite film,
you could not really.
You
could tell.
She loved this.
Just and lost in joy.
She did it brilliantly, had all the emotion you want. She's learning. It was had the whole Strictly package for me.
Yeah.
And to see what happened to her in this story this week made no sense because it's one
God.
Of my favourite moments of the week.
So Craig, I think, marked severely down, gave her a 6. Everyone else, it was 8s and 7s, Motsi and Anton an 8 and Shirley a 7. She ended up in the dance-off, we now know. I mean, thank God it was with someone who, you know, she had no... Although Shirley saved Richie and Giovanni, can you believe that? I don't know what they were watching, or what Shirley was watching, certainly, but all I can say is there's such a big field still. It was still 14 couples. It's easy to get lost in there.
Yeah.
But oh my God, are we racists or what?
I don't know. I thought I was going, oh, this is always a conspiracy theory with anything.
But it's always in the early weeks. There's always a woman of colour in those early weeks. There's that either feeling, goes out or gets in the dance-off.
There's a feeling that it's like the rules it is in a slasher movie or an alien invasion pick where the black guy goes first.
Yeah.
And it's just the unfairness of that. But the weird thing this week was I was watching it thinking, you can say that this week because they doubled down on the package saying there's been some controversy about a black Little Mermaid. And you go, have you pushed the woke fear button in Middle England? And is this going to backfire on her? Because if that is, I am very cross.
Yeah, no, because genuinely, I was surprised seeing the comments on, if you look at like, so I write a Strictly sort of column for a newspaper. And so I occasionally check in and see what the other people are writing and stuff. The comments underneath some of them, obviously depending on the fucking newspaper, but the comments underneath some of them, it is just this unleashed thing of like, it's gone all woke, it's shit, I don't like it, there's a fat one, there's a short one. It's like, hang on a minute, sorry, when did everyone become so like nakedly hateful of people who don't look like themselves?
It's just, I think what's happened is that it's been allowed, as in you're allowed to say things. It's now,
it's
in
grim.
Lots of areas, and we could talk about this all bloody day, but
there's
an important thing where people have been emboldened to think that observational comedy is pointing out something about themselves that they know.
Yeah.
Ellie Simmons quite short. She knows.
Oh my God, is she?
I think she is aware of that. You have not, and I said it's the most playground level of joke. It's saying haircut, new shoes, girl's bike.
Oh God, it's horrible.
They know. And the weird thing is that has now become a thing both in comedy and in politics and in newspapers and in coverage and in punditry where saying something about themselves that they know, that they deal with every day is seen as something noble and clever to do.
Yeah.
Jane Addams got quite big thighs. She knows.
Yeah. It's just mind-blowingly stupid. Anyway, screw those people. Stop watching Strictly. We hate you.
So, it turns out that maybe that was to do with massive racism or we're being paranoid. But it was horrible to see, bearing in mind they'd made a special point of saying this is a woke moment.
Yeah.
And it then backfired on her. And I hope that's not what happened.
Are you saying they overestimated the audience somewhat?
Oh, where do we get to in life where we don't overestimate people? Let's think the best of people, because it will be better if we do.
Okay, now we move on to James and Amy, who charge hard to that song from Guardians of the Galaxy. That's
Ooga Chaka.
Yeah, exactly.
Andy did the kicking at the beginning, from the beginning of Guardians of the Galaxy. He was kicking the animals away. It was full of references. It was great.
And obviously, which ones that you would get, and I barely remember that film. Now, I remember enjoying it at the time.
You don't like musicals?
Well, no. James Gunn, though, I knew who he was, and he got in touch to say he wasn't sure whether to leave their dance in this Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Good joke.
That was pretty cool. I thought James looked gorgeous in this outfit. Yeah. Like, in fact, in training, he looked even nicer. There was like a different leather jacket. Sorry, just to focus on that for a minute. But he looked so handsome.
Great outfit for
him. So Star-Lord. He totally did carry off this part. And his solo stuff, I thought, was really good. She left him, Amy left him soloing for quite a long time. And then sort of turned up in her green sort of body paint and took off his Walkman. Beautifully done. Craig said it lacked hip action, but told him he does have rhythm. But it felt like he was, I wrote down here, it felt like he was telling him he had a lovely personality. It was like, no, I think he was a bit better than that. I don't think James is perfect and like the best dancer or anything, but Shirley pointed out he did get his weight forward, the thing they're always saying about those dances. He got his weight right forward, which meant his toes, his body weight was all in the right place. So a lot of the right shapes were being made, and actually she appreciated that. But his scoring was pretty low this week.
Yeah.
So he got 3 sixes from, you know, the human judges, and then the evil lizard only gave him 4.
Yeah, it wasn't a 4 dance. I thought there's a tiny bit of... I really enjoyed James's dancing because he was very, very unexpected, and he's had more musicality than I was expecting.
Yeah, he's definitely got something going on, hasn't he?
I like him. I've got a lot of time
for him. You can see him in Chicago as Billy Watts'
first. Yeah, yeah. Him and Billy Flynn, thank you. Him and Amy are really, really good together, I think, and I like her a lot, and her choreography was really good.
Oh, yeah, she's... Gorgeous.
It was a wee bit clumpy, but it's week 3 and you're expecting that a little bit.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a 4 dance.
He's like the control experiment, I think, isn't he? It's like this is what a normal in quotation marks person from showbiz who doesn't have dance experience, this is what they do on Strictly.
Yes.
They do clomp about a bit, but he's definitely getting better.
Yeah, he's got a good journey
and
to
actually,
follow.
I do not clench when he's dancing.
Not at all.
He passes the clench test.
I enjoy his bits.
Yeah. So yeah, a 4 and 3 sixes. Low down the table this week, but I still think he's got potential, and I think women probably quite like him, controversially, and gay men. So now we move on to Ellie and Nikita. Obviously, what Nikita, who our child has already decided that he is secretly an assassin.
Yeah.
Which is probably slightly based, you know, on racist assumptions about sort of, you know, people.
Since the Russians, yeah.
But what he really needed to complete that look was a thin pencil moustache, just to underline the evil he already exudes. They really got the character of this dance so beautifully. They were doing a quick step, sort of from a tune from The Artist, obviously the Jean Dujardin, amazing. Did it win the Oscar for best foreign or best film? Even
it's
I think,
silent,
it?
So it was not a musical. So I haven't watched it. So,
oh, okay. Yeah. Well, it's a brilliant film. You should definitely watch it. There's a funny dog in it. If that in any
amazing.
Way helps. Okay, good. I thought this was gorgeous. I thought she looked like. I mean, she made it look very easy. She looked like a natural, lyrical dancer this week. It's so fast.
Zero clench.
The feet, never with her. She's very easy to watch. She has amazing core strength. I know that's a bit of a redundant thing to say about someone who swims for her job and wins gold medals. But her central, so the middle of her body, I reckon if I punched it, I'd break my hand.
Yeah.
I think she is just so able to control. You can't do that fast foot stuff unless your core is so like a bullet, like a grenade.
It's what's so relaxing to watch about her is that she is so sure of the placement of her limbs. And I don't know whether that's to do with being an Olympian or a Paralympian or where she has obviously spent her whole life thinking about what her body is doing.
Yeah.
And you can see it, and she's applied it to dancing
sports people,
effortlessly.
Just, yeah,
it's brilliant.
Completely. But in a way that lots of sports people on this show classically have not.
Yeah.
But they're even having said that, sometimes you watch a dance and say, I didn't enjoy that, it was awful, and they go, amazing footwork. Mm. And then sometimes you watch a dance and go, oh my God, I couldn't keep up with how brilliantly fast she was. And then Anton said that her footwork wasn't great this week. So I missed that one. But it maybe now we're talking about toes and heels and things that I don't notice. I just notice when she's moving as quickly as her partner.
Yeah.
And not missing a beat, being much more, you know, kind of just unable. She shouldn't be able to keep up with someone with legs twice the length of hers, and she's fucking
well. They're
amazing.
Not cutting her any slack, which I think is a sign that they know she can do this.
Oh no, that's what
which I think is really nice.
If you listen to the comments and then and cross reference with the scores, they are picking on little things now because they can see how good she is. Craig said sometimes her timing was out, but he loved it. I think as a movie week dance, it was one of the best dances of the night because it was movies, Hollywood, beautiful. The styling was amazing. She looked great. And
her performance is lovely as well. She immediately...
She performs so well.
Yeah.
She gets the character of every dance.
Really
like,
charming.
Mwah. Yeah, and so the scores finally, Craig gave a 6, everyone else gave 7s. I think Craig was being a little bit harsh because of the aforementioned footwork thing, but I think 7s suggest that she is on the way. I don't know, I think she's very, very good. I think she'd have to do something really, really wrong at the moment to get knocked out because she's showing that progress that you want to see in a dancer, in a non-dancer who's becoming a dancer. What did I write here? Later you go and love that. I know it's not important. I won't bother saying it. It's just some scribble that I wrote down. Okay, so now we move on to Will and Nancy. He's back. Not that he really went anywhere last week, but I didn't like last week's as much as I liked the first week. And now this week, whoo! So he danced an American Smooth to something from Dirty Dancing. Again, that's a film I've seen once with you and we didn't get on with it that well.
I think you need to be a 14-year-old girl
Everybody
to enjoy
Dirty Everybody else loved
dancing.
It as long as they saw it when they were a 14-year-old girl, even if they never were one.
One of my blind spots.
All I put here was Will possibly... Depends. See, this is where me and popular culture sometimes depart. I'm not sure if it's beneficial to have Keith Lemon come to your training.
Oh, God.
I cannot fucking stand
it. I got really distracted by that and started writing this long essay on my notes.
No!
It's on my phone.
We haven't got time.
No, but I started writing. I said, I find it really interesting how Strictly deals with masculinity.
Yeah.
As someone who pointed out brilliantly in the first week, said when a football chant became involved,
yes.
He went, Strictly is a home for everybody. The whole point is it's full of diversity and everyone's welcome. It's
We've
for the whole family.
We've covered this, Joel. Next.
But it was really interesting that Will, whose cockiness is massively attractive in his dancing.
Yes, yes, yes.
Out of the dances, I find his cockiness in the sort of the training montage to go, oh, you're one of those blokes.
Yeah.
And the fact that he wanted Lee Francis and Avid Mary, wanted Keith Lemon there, I went, oh, you're one of those blokes. You're the kind of bloke who would spill their pint and they get aggressive with me. The laddiness, the blokiness, the comfortableness with the sort of slightly aggressive uncampness.
And
of
him
Lee
saying, like, he made a point of saying, like, I really love romantic films. And now I think, were you just saying that to put me off the scent? Because you're really, there's like someone who hangs out with Lee Francis.
Yeah, I suddenly got really suspicious of it. And the weird thing was, watching how Strictly deals with masculinity is really interesting because it has so many people playing different roles and it plays with camp and it's really, really clever.
Yeah.
I got really confused, but I suddenly went, Lee Francis was enough for me to go, oh, he's one of those blokes.
Oh, no, I know, which is probably awful and
very unfair.
A dreadful judgment. He is still one of the best, I mean, nicest to watch dancers in this competition.
Great dancer.
This routine I thought was amazing. He started out on his own again. Just the shapes he makes. I love his arms. He's so good with his arms and his shaping and his expression with them. Most of all, though, I love how, and there's always one of these, there's a Kelvin every series.
Yes.
There's one male dancer who turns Motsy and Shirley into the front row of Magic Mike, and it makes me so happy. They're both like standing up. They've had one too many Proseccos. They're just going, woo, and trying to join in, and they're waving their arms above their heads and they're swinging their handbags.
Mums on the lash.
Yeah, no, it makes me happy because I feel like it's sort of reflecting us back.
Yeah.
I really enjoy
when the judges
that.
Become the sofa. I really like that.
Yeah, and Motsy was up and down like she was sitting on tacks. It was just so delightful. I wrote down he just chatted up the whole country with this dance. I think it was incredibly effective kind of seduction of the entire, you know, anyone watching who likes six packs and big shoulders and
Nancy's letting him do that. I thought she was great as well. It was a really, really nice. I liked her styling. She looked great as Jennifer Grey.
She looked terrific.
Really lovely. And she's allowing him to do that. She's finding places for him to show that off.
Totally.
I think that they're a really good pairing, the pair of them.
They've worked out what his strengths are, and I think they're probably going to play to them every week now, and they wouldn't be wrong to do that. And it's really difficult being, you know, all the bookies went going nuts like the first week and saying, oh, it's going to win. They're still favouriting him as a winner at the moment, which is never really helpful, I think. Whether you're a confident person or not, I think it's not good to be earmarked I think it can probably do bad things to your head. Craig said he made ballroom sexy, so they were all having a bit of a hot flush. and then just if that wasn't enough, Will's mum was in the audience and he just let slip, although it wasn't clearly letting slip. It was just saying, you know, you need to know this. His mum was there. She's been through really tough things. She looked emotional. So it was really great for her to be there and to see what he was doing. It's like, oh, okay. And so now he's got a mum who's been through hard things. Oh,
perfect. Strictly package.
God, you are such catnip. You raw. Anyway, Craig gave him an 8. Motsy gave him a very hormonal 9. And then Shirley and Anton both 8s as well. And then Nancy did some really weird stuff in the Claudia interview afterwards, being a robot. She was saying, I am a baby. I am the baby. And it's like, yeah, okay, maybe don't do that. because she's clearly mad. Yeah. I mean, it's charming, but
keep that in the rehearsal room.
I think she's actually mad.
Like, good.
But in a way that makes me love her more. But some people might be put off. So next we have the kind of the headline dance of the night, I would say. Tony and Katja, who sambered to You Sexy Thing from the Full Monty. And it was brilliant. Time and the universe itself began to eat its own tail because they showed a clip of the film where in the post office, when they're working out who's who, one of the characters says, "You be Tony Adams." Yeah. It's like, wait, what? Pooh, my head exploded.
It was sensational.
And then my TV disappeared, and so did Strictly and England and the world. Yeah. So he obviously, I mean, they hinted it last week. It was a striptease. It really did become Magic Mike then. It was so funny. He did the character of that so well. He became like sort of Cheryl Baker at Eurovision. Off came the trousers. Then she
Velcro,
rips his shirt
change,
open.
Yeah.
It was just really nicely done. His attack and his attitude to all of this is what is winning votes and will continue to, I think. And sometimes I would get cross that someone who's not as good a dancer is garnering all these public votes. And I used to, especially if it's someone easy to hate like Anne Widdecombe, who doesn't like gay people. Don't get one Strictly, you crank.
So
with him, I actually think he's getting better at dancing. Some of the solo stuff he did, I know they were all laughing and Craig gave him a two. I actually was quite impressed with some of the footwork.
It's a bit Ed
Balls. Look, he's dancing.
It's got the Ed Balls vibe going, actually,
again,
I'm enjoying
watching
Again, who
was parted with Katja. She is an evil genius with these kinds of contestants.
I have written down here what that showed off. Not only that he is game, he's going to have, I think, a short journey, but a good journey.
Oh, memorable. He'll blaze bright like a comet. Again, and then, you know.
And when they do those clips montages, don't forget, Ed Balls' dance is always in a clip montage of the best moments of Strictly.
Yeah.
You need someone like this who's having the most unexpected journey.
It's already gone down in history.
But my big note was, Katja is the world's best teacher.
She is.
And what you're watching, this is a show about teaching. More than Anton used to be, where you gave Anton someone unpromising, and he makes jokes about that. If you give Katja someone unpromising, they find between them something sensational and unexpected, and that was this was his Gangnam Style. I thought this week,
absolutely, it's the one that they'll keep referring back to. I don't know if I'll watch it as much as I still watch Gangnam Style when I'm feeling sad.
That's impossible. There's nothing that you need to watch as much as Gangnam Style.
That's just medicine via YouTube. So Craig, a two. I mean, I think, to be honest, because Craig is panto and understands panto,
in character,
he now understands that the lower he goes, the higher the phone vote for Tony. So, you know, all is good. Motsi a six, Shirley a four, and Anton a six. I think he's safe, possibly even till Blackpool, unless unless he's caught like kicking a kitten or something. He's definitely an audience favourite.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we move on to Helen and Gorka, who, oh God, the costume, I love the costume. I love a big skirt. She looked so beautiful. Dressed her up as Sandra Dee. She did Hopelessly Devoted from Greece. It was a Viennese waltz.
Sorry, can I just point out she didn't dress her as Sandra Dee?
What?
She's not dressed as Sandra Dee.
Oh, what?
She's dressed as Sandy from Greece.
Oh, God, I'm sorry. It's the look at me. Sandra Dee?
Sandra Dee's a 50s actress.
Sorry.
Sandy isn't Sandra Dee.
Musical knowledge. I'm so sorry.
For God's sake. Sandy Dombofsky in the original Grease production on stage. And then I'm going to reveal I've completely forgotten what Sandy's called in the film.
Ha!
Bam!
Ha! Your sad act is at an end, monsieur. Anyway.
She was a Sandy. She was Olivia Newton-John. The late Olivia Newton-John.
You know who I meant. You're being such a twat this week. This is your birthday. Shirley said her fleckle was divine because fleckles notoriously quite hard to get the foot in the right place, your feet in the right place to go round and round and round your own feet. It's kind of like very hard to do without tripping yourself up. Anton said she's demonstrating the required lean, and Motsi said she looks light, and I agree. They often put her in chiffony things because she seems to be able to float across the dance floor. Presumably she'll be back to Latin next week, but her ballroom is going really, really well, I think. And just, you know, she's holding a nice steady course. She got a seven from Craig and 3/8, and I love watching her. I think she is beautiful on that dance floor.
She's one of my favourites. She's certainly, I want her to go all the way, even though I'm now thinking she wasn't Sandy Dombofsky in the original Broadway production, she's Sandy Dombofsky in the original Chicago production of Grease.
I think I'm going to need to see a lawyer and have a long chat with them about
I can't think about Helen now because I'm thinking about what Sandy's name is
in
the film.
Well, look, she's just got divorced and you're about to get divorced, so maybe, you know.
God. Anyway, so Helen's one of my favourite people in this at the moment because I think she's having a brilliant... I mean, she's got a perfect journey of self-confidence, and this is bringing something out of her. She is really good at this. She's got a dancer's frame, a dancer's physique.
They're basically dressing her as a blossom every week. It's a bit on the nose, isn't it? She's blossoming.
She's
like
literally blossoming.
Visually.
But she's lovely to watch. The gap between her self-confidence and her performances is getting... the story's all in that.
Yeah.
Her and Gorka together are really, really nice. He's obviously, again, it's about teachers and pupils. He's loving teaching her and finding that in her.
Yeah, I think he is.
This is a lovely dance for the pair of them. They look great together. She is great to watch. I'm one of my favourites.
They should go a long way in this competition.
Sandy. What the fuck's Sandy's name?
Shut up. Okay, finally we get to the end. I don't want to say that like I've had too many Christmas presents, but it does. Oh, come on. I think the perfect Strictly is like about sort of week six.
Yeah.
And suddenly it's like a manageable amount of dances. Okay, so the big finish, you know they've got a lot of faith in you to end things on a big energetic whoomph.
Yeah.
If they put you last, Jade and Karen, who cha-cha-cha'd to What a Feeling from Flashdance. Obviously, the history of this song... in Strictly is Louise Nerding did it in 2016 for Movie Week, did a really good job with Kevin. This one, I think, is the one that'll
hang
go down
on.
History,
you're forgetting
though.
Robert Webb doing.
But that wasn't on Strictly Come. That was the Comic Relief one.
For me, Comic Relief is still canon.
Okay, fine. Well, then obviously, no, that one's the ultimate, and we
Robert
all know
Webb
that.
Doing it. It's important.
That's why he probably got Strictly in the first place. Because they were like, that kid can dance.
Yes.
And obviously, you know, no one did it looking like that or emoting like that. Like he, I mean, he was something else.
So you've got basically what I'm saying is the challenge is there. Can you top? For a moment that gets into the papers, Robert Webb doing this.
And I think Jade drew level at
Absolutely.
Least, the very bloody least. So obviously she came out dressed. I really love this because obviously they can go any way they like with the costumes on this one. She could be dressed in something quite masculine in a ballroom, say, and maybe partner Karen effectively as the male.
Yeah.
And then Karen can go a bit more. But they're being really clever with their styling. This week it was like they just come out dressed the same.
Yeah.
So you are... I'm sorry. We've got to find a new word that's not big bollocks. That's like better suited to the sisterhood. But
flapped.
She came. See, I don't like the word flapped.
Mighty
very
flapped.
Much. She mighty flaps Jade out. I don't think she'd like that description. But anyway, she came out dressed identically to her unbelievably trim, glossy dance partner. So the two of them are dressed in the same costume. The leg warmers up to the knees. The amazing black leotard. Thighs ablaze, just like they. She looked fucking gorgeous.
Yes.
Am I allowed to say that?
Yeah.
She looked fucking gorgeous. They stand there. She's kind of doing the kind of the brief. I'm glad they didn't spend too long doing it. Robert Webb spent far too long with that angle grinder. Jade like had a few sparks, popped it down, took her apron off.
Hey, the sparks are happening on the dance floor.
Thank you. I feel like I want to call you Marty from now on. So we'll be back with Marty next week. And then there was storytelling in that moment. Like it was like she saw this ideal of a dancer tripping across the dance floor and she was like, I want to go and join her.
Yeah.
It was storytelling. It was weird. It was like a really clever moment, or she played it really cleverly. And so she kind of just like did that kind of that run. I don't know what you call it instead of modern or jazz dance. She ran beautifully across
jazz
the floor.
Jazz run.
Yeah, with sort of beautiful hands and joined her. And then just basically did this mirrored, beautiful, energetic, really fucking knackering physical dance. Echoing, you know, lots of the stuff from the original movie, as I understand it. Haven't seen it. Have you seen it? I haven't seen it.
It's a girls' movie.
you like musicals.
They're not girls' movies. They're for gay men.
Okay. You only like gay men's. Okay, fine. Whatever, sure. Classically, and she knows this, and she knew this when she was taking on Strictly, you look at someone like Jade with the body type she has, and you're like, oh, I understand what you're going to do. And then she doesn't do it.
Yeah.
She just fucking dances the shit out of it, pardon my French.
Yeah.
She's really going for it. And because she does have dance experience and probably a lot more than some of the other contestants, like her body knows what to do.
Yeah.
And so when Karen's doing the kind of really physical, kind of lurid stuff, like Jade can do it too. And there was only one moment where she'd been down on the floor humping it for some considerable time and then had to get back up and kind of like stride over for that final iconic moment on the chair.
Yeah.
Where she kind of just had to put an extra hand on her leg to get herself back off the floor. Because it's like, that was the most relatable moment. I think it's like, I'd be doing that.
Yeah,
that's what I'd be doing.
It was revealing that these people, as we said about Helen Skelton appearing to sort of float and fly.
Yeah.
You have to realise that human beings can't do that. And the great thing, whenever you see the professional dancers at the beginning doing their routine, they appear to be doing impossible acrobatics.
Yeah.
Moving bodies, defying gravity.
Yeah.
The great moments are when anyone of any body shape, it doesn't have to be Jade, is doing something that reveals that your body doesn't want to do this.
Yeah, remember how much effort and time and rehearsal and sort of stamina is going into this, and how much training she's doing. And I know she's been working out in the gym and stuff, because like she's, to sustain this amount of movement for 90 yeah. seconds for anybody who's not a dancer, it's a fucking effort. And just a little glimpse of, oh my God, there's the effort. Yeah. Shit, I couldn't do that. It's just actually quite good.
The thing that I find really empowering and interesting about this year, because we've been talking about this, saying this is there's a show about teachers and pupils, teaching how to learn something. And what this year says more than anything is that there will be barriers to you doing it,
yeah,
but none of them are insurmountable. It doesn't matter whether you're shaped like a dancer. The people who are shaped like a dancer might have low confidence. The people who are... When I say shaped like a dancer, like the professional dancers.
I think they're finally getting that right this year.
They're saying that what you can do is you can learn these skills. And if you can hit these things, the things they're talking about body weight and things, all these things enable you to transcend the expectations of what your body can do.
Yeah.
And that is... Now, I can't be asked to go and do this. I can't be asked to go and get fit.
Oh, my God, I can't be asked either.
It's a shaming thing to watch people to go, do you know what? There's no excuse.
Yeah.
Because actually what the people are teaching them are a series of techniques that enable you to transcend what you think the limitations of your confidence, your rhythm, your body can do.
Yeah.
It's magical.
It is so magical. And I think the fact that that little moment of just like, oh, just get up from the floor came just before the most iconic moment of the night, where she... hits her mark, does a couple of pirouettes, and then just like lies
drapes
back.
Herself.
Yeah, drapes majestically across the chair, throws her head back, and the spot hits. And it's like, it's all theatre, obviously, but my God, she looked good.
It was brilliant.
It was. I would have that a life, more than life size, like in an oil painting on my wall for the rest of time. Like, wow. The fact she got to do that, I'm sure she's going to look back on that and just...
And to finish the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
To have the confidence that the show would say, the last image you'll see is that, because it's great bit of staging, she will close the show.
Yeah. And I wrote down, it's an amazing moment, not just for Jade.
Yeah.
Like, so many people watching that are talking about how they're seeing themselves and going, and they're not, you know what, Jade's working really hard and she's actually getting really fit and all that stuff, and it's not really any of us, because like you said, we can't be bothered,
can't be asked,
but it's much more than just one woman living her dream, and that's why it's so powerful. So the scores for their dance, I'm sorry, I have to turn the page because I wrote so many emphatic notes about the dance, don't normally have to do that. The scores were Craig 7, Motsi 8, and two more 7s from the other two. But Jade was screaming because it's her highest scores yet. Oh. So she was really, 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 really happy.
Also in pain, I imagine.
Also screaming in pain.
Because I imagine it's really hard.
Yes. Okay, so the leaderboard finished with Tyler and Molly up at the top there. And Matt and Tony, as we expected, down at the bottom, Ellie hovering just above. And then, of course, the Dance Off of Doom, which saw Britain's true racist nature come through with aplomb. It was Fleur dancing off ridiculously. There's always, I suppose there's more drama in someone who shouldn't be in the dance-off being in the dance-off, but I'm really sorry it was her, because that's not fair. She looks so shocked.
Yes.
Richie, I sort of understood, because it was a dreadful dance. I mean, I hated the dance this week. I think in terms of audience appeal, it didn't have any. So, and he had all, everything was against
him. He's the first person on, so you've forgotten him. The other thing I thought as well with Richie.
The idea that Fleur could have gone. Oh my God. No,
but the
no,
thing
no,
with,
no.
with Richie going, I did feel that Richie's journey, as far as I could see what it was like to be, was going to be coming out, doing 100 miles an hour, almost ignoring the music because he was so excited to be there, giving loads of detail and loads of fun. And then the next week being told to discipline that and rein it in.
And he did.
And then the next week doing one, and he went, oh, it's another jumping up and down dance.
I know.
And I think I've seen your journey, and your journey was learning to rein it in.
Yeah.
It was too short. I don't think I was desperate to watch him next week do a Viennese waltz.
Yes,
or
I think
samba.
You're right. In a crowded field, because the last year's, oh God, the novelty of last year's two males in a pairing thing had been, we'd seen that and it was incredible because John is an incredible dancer.
Yes.
Richie this year, I was kind of watching for, and you know, what's going to be this time? It's the same thing that you said about chemistry. I felt like Giovanni was less kind of championing him and being really absolutely pumped to be partnered with him, and more just sort of humouring him.
Yeah.
And that's an awful thing to say, because I don't think Richie necessarily deserved that. I don't think that Giovanni's heart was in it, and it has to be a real kind of dynamite partnership for that to work.
It's noticeable that
for audiences to love it.
It's noticeable that the really sort of charged same-sex dance moment this week was Adam Lambert's song.
Yeah, that was so cool.
Where is it, Carlos and Nikita, the two smiling assassins, were dancing together, and you went, "Oh, there's the challenge to Middle England."
It was
and
so hot.
And that was really sexy. And I went, "Oh, weirdly, I think
it was Mad About the Boy, wasn't it?" So it was just like a really sort of seamy, gorgeous cover of Mad About the Boy
it was
with
good.
That dance.
And weirdly, we often forget to talk about the musical moments, the musical guests, because you sort of forget them, but they can be really good as well. Because you get the dances, it's really nice. And that was a moment you went, "Oh, I think." I don't know whether there has been one. I hope the argument about same-sex couples has been won to the extent that that was a brilliant moment.
Oh,
now.
God, it was gorgeous.
You're no longer watching it and going, this is really breaking down barriers. You're going, no, it's fine. Strictly can do same-sex couples. Great.
And also because Craig did that brilliant thing, I think, last series of talking about the history of tango.
Yeah.
And how it was always traditionally danced by two men.
Yeah.
It's like, so shut up.
So you don't like it when lots of men dance together. So the beginning of West Side Story bores you. Fuck off.
Oh, you and your musicals.
Sandy Olsen.
Oh, my God.
I've been waiting to say that since you started talking about Helen Skelton. It's Sandy Olsen. It's a Scandinavian background. So Sandy in Greece, the idea being she's from a Scandinavian background that's emigrated to Australia.
Oh,
that's
my
the background.
God.
It's the blonde.
Every day is a school day.
Against the sort of Italian, American, Polish, American.
So just if anyone has any really good divorce lawyers, if you could just, that would be super. Just, I'm not saying I'm going to use a number, but if anyone knows a good one, just, you know, send it in. Why not? So that's it for Movie Week. It was brilliant. It was not brilliant for Fleur. I'm hoping there's no more danger zone for her because it's completely unjustified. I think she's a terrific dancer and also a queer Wolfenstein.
Yeah.
That mustn't be allowed to happen again. I shall now be voting. I didn't bother to vote this week. My fault entirely. I will vote next week. So that's Movie Week. We've probably got, at least a week or two till Halloween now. So it's just going to be a bit of vanilla dancing.
I'll probably can't come on as Tron again next week. All bets better be off with, as long as you're doing things like any movie set within a computer world.
Yeah.
So I imagine Lawnmower Man, Last Starfighter, that's allowed outside. Outside the thing. And obviously I'm imagining that Motsy will come on dressed as someone from Battle Beyond the Stars next week.
Literally no idea what you just said. Lovely.
Hooray!
All right, thank you so much for listening. Come and join us next week. We'll be back to our usual Sunday slot. I know a lot of you listen on a Monday morning anyway, just because it's so bleak. October Monday mornings are not fun, are they? So it cheers up a lovely and an otherwise quite grim day. But we'll be back to Sunday next week, and we'd love to hear from you. Come and have a chat with us on Twitter. We're at Curse of Strictly. You know this by now. And in the meantime...
Don't stop dancing!